Since your latest album is called Life and Times, why don't we talk a little bit about your life and times?
Love to. My life and times right now consists of a tour. It's been going on for about 6 weeks, and unfortunately bypassing the city of Chicago, which is not my idea. Didn't get a chance to get a concert here.
You got a lot of fans out here.
Yeah, that's why I really wanted to play Chicago. But I must admit that this time around it was good to concede Chicago for the cities that I have never been able to play before, like Miami and Tampa and Jacksonville and stuff like that, New Orleans and Atlanta. So it's making me more of a national act as opposed to a regional act. Although I've only played Chicago once, and that was opening to Herbie last November, I think, or October, whenever.
What really amazes me is, like, all the young people who call up requesting your music and asking about it, you know, people 13 and 14. Mm. How about when you're playing around in the country, how's the audience made up of?
I never noticed the age group. I just noticed there are a lot of people, primarily of white and non-white races. You know, I mean, it's like pretty much mixture. A whole lot of people, Chicano, it doesn't matter, which is really great for me. Cause it means that it's getting out, it's getting through to the general public, no matter how small or large it may be, which is where it's at for me.
When did you start playing the drums?
I'll throw out a number, somewhere in the vicinity of about 1945. I was born in 44. So, you know, somewhere in the middle of that.
What made you take up the drum?
Oh, I pretty much inborn. Music has been my life.
Did you ever study it formally?
Very, very little. But on the other hand, when you say formally, I know you mean that if I study with a teacher, any particular teacher of any stature, very little of that. But then on the other hand, very formally, but indirectly, by way of any percussionist master you can name, I feel that I've learned from them. Elvin to Max, it doesn't really matter.
You played with some of the same people they have, too.
Yeah, Miles. And I didn't get a chance to play with Train, but he was still an inspiration to me. I consider him one of my major influences.
What was your first big break in the music business?
Well, I guess that would be my first major break was with Dreams, I think. I started doing a lot of recording. Actually, yeah, they all came about the same time. Miles, Dreams, everything came around the same time.
I remember seeing you here in Chicago with Dreams at a club that doesn't exist anymore.
Beavers.
Right?
Yeah. That, I don't know, Oh, man, classic gig. That was like the best band we ever had because Chuck Rainey was in the band. We were all, well, no, we didn't. We played the night after Tower of Power played with the best band they ever had, as far as I'm concerned.
I remember that, too. I was there.
Yeah, the original band. And those are moments I really treasure, you know. It was happening.
And you have a new band put together now, you were telling me a little
earlier. Yeah, George Duke and Alfonso Johnson and John Schofield. It's a quartet.
And that's the band you're touring with? And you've recorded with them already?
To some degree. There's some things on tape.
How about listening to something from the new album?
All right.
You've got 29 queued up. Does that have any significance?
29? Yeah, it's a good numerological number.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. 29 from Billy Cobham's latest album, Life and Times. And Billy's in the studio with us. We're talking about different things. Your last album, A Funky Thigh of Sings, of course, is a spoonerism.
Hooray!
Is that how you arrived at the title?
No. I arrived at the title of them.
Was it just a slip of the tongue?
Uh-uh. Oh, I have this thing about turning things inside out.
Uh-huh.
But also, Tom Dowd, who's like a really great person, thought it was a great idea. So did Ahmed Erdogan. He was sort of like my mentor for that particular project. We were rapping about it, and I told him I was going to call it A Funky Kind of Thing. And Tom said, over some sake, why don't you call it A Funky Kind of Things? And it sounded great. And so I had to do it. I couldn't get around it, you know, along with my friend Harold the orangutan.
Uh-huh. And Bill Ham Cobbley.
Ham Cobbley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Ham Cobbley is a recording entity of the Ham Cobbley umbrella complex. Ham Cobbley being the live performance organization. In other words, they're two corporations. And one is for recording productions and stuff, which is based technically and legally signed to the Atlantic organization and signs me and does all my, I take care of all my stuff through my production company. And Habcom is, it handles all of my live performance stuff.
Uh-huh. You're listening to Try It over Stereo 106, Elmwood Park, Chicago, broadcasting in stereo from Sears Tower, WXFM. What do you think about the disco movement that's going around?
Before I answer that, I need a new Triad t-shirt. So please, okay, send one to the box number I give you after we're up to here. I just wanted to make sure I got that in.
Okay.
Because I got a hole in the other one. The disco movement?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's got a place, you know. I don't know how permanent it is, but whatever. It's music. It gets me moving, which means that whoever's playing, if they can get me moving, then I have to respect it. Because I feel that music is made, if it's good and sincere, it'll affect the body. It'll affect the mind. And I love it. I love to hear it,
uh-huh,
you know, to a degree. I mean, I can take so much of it, and then I got to do something else. But then that will be in respect to anything else I listen to as well.
Let's listen to some more music from
Cool With Me.
Funky Thigh of Sings.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
cover of this month's Triad Guide is worth a dollar off to you on any $5 LP at either of the Rolling Stone record stores through March 31st. You'll find Rolling Stone at 7300 West Irving Park Road and 175 West Washington. Also, a special sale going on this month on all Jethro Tull single LPs. On sale through March 31st for just $3.49 each. Stop by Rolling Stone Record Stores, 7300 West Irving Park Road, where they're open daily from 10 a.m. till 11 p.m., and downtown at 175 West Washington, open 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You'll also find tickets available at the downtown store at 175 West Washington for our screening tomorrow night at the Playboy Theater of A Boy and His Dog. If you show up there early tomorrow, I'm sure you'll be able to still pick some up, so do it. We're talking to Lily Cobham, who's talking on the phone right now.
Hold on 1 minute.
But I guess we can talk a little bit.
Yeah, I'm carrying on two conversations, one on the ear and one on the phone.
What's going on the phone?
Yeah, it's me. What'd you say?
What's going on the phone?
There's an interesting human being on the other end talking about
Speaking of
music.
Interesting human beings, we got Earthlings on the
I'll take
on the
it.
Turntable.
Yeah.
Let's get into a bit of it.
I can use that.
We'll be right back. Earthlings from Billy Cobham's Life and Times. Billy's in the studio with us tonight, talking a little bit about his life and times. While we were listening to the record, you were listening to the record, I asked Billy about how many albums he's played on. He said it's something like about 200.
Yeah, somewhere in the vicinity of that, of which I really connect only up with maybe 75.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, about 75. And it goes from like Sam and Dave on through up through Ron Carter stuff.
When did you start doing studio work?
About 64.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was pretty active. And strangely enough, I was active somewhere in the vicinity of, that was a time when New York was really hopping, man. It was like the last few years of heavy recording in New York City. It's never been the same. Not since the 70s.
Uh-huh. How did you break into studio recording?
Through people like Ron Carter and Tom McIntosh, New York Jazz Sextet. Just getting my name around. Chris White is really becoming known to them. And just getting the tidbits that were left after like the Mel Lewis's and the other drummers that were of major name proportions took up whatever they needed to cover themselves from week to week. I would just get whatever was left.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst other cats, I'm sure there were other cats doing the same thing. Which was a great thing in a way, because I never became obligated to any one contractor, thus never having to feel like I had to depend on them or that they were feeding me from day to day, which was one of the big problems with being a studio musician. You start to become dependent on certain guys, the contractors in town, and they then would manipulate you.
Uh-huh.
As in anything else. I mean, then politics would come into the picture, and you would really have to kiss their big toe, you know, so to speak, you know, for lack of something else better to kiss, for worse as the case may be.
As well as playing in the studio, you're into producing too, I know.
Yeah.
You done anything lately?
Lately, no. The last thing has just been my thing. I've been working on some more material because I'm working on the second phase of this conceptual series. Life and Times is stage one of a series of things that I have intentions of doing. As soon as Dan Marcus gets out of the back of the corner, I'll be able to better, because he makes me laugh. You see. He's a very funny guy. But anyway, I'm working on a thing now, sort of South, which is definitely South-oriented, working with some of the people from the original Azteca band, Pete Escovedo and his daughter, Sheila, who is an incredible conga player. And they've recorded about 58 minutes of music with me, of which I still have intentions of doing more recording when I get back off the road.
And eventually release that?
Yeah, in time. Yeah, when it's ready.
We had one person out there called wanted to know a little bit about your drums.
Oh, yeah, right. They're all modified. The ones that I'm using on the road right now are fives. The same old set I've had for years that I had my dreams about and all of that. But I changed them around a lot. And I use North drums now, which are newer on the market. They look like ship's funnels. They're bent up and they give a bent sort of tonal shape to the signal, as well as gong drums and stuff. One would have to see in order to understand what I'm talking about, because they are modified very radically.
Uh-huh. Any chance that people will be able to see Billy Cobham Band in Chicago in the near future?
Not before the fall, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
The closest we're playing to Chicago is Rock Island, Illinois, on Friday of this week at Augustina College. And then on Saturday in Milwaukee, we're playing at the Performing Arts Center. And that's as close as we'll be coming to Chicago this time around, unfortunately, because I'd love to play Chicago.
And this is the band with George Duke.
And Alfonso Johnson, yeah, and John Schofield.
Let's listen to a little bit of more music from Funky Thought of Sings, Light at the End of the Tunnel.
Paul McCartney, Linda McCartney, Denny Lane, Jimmy McCullough, and Joe English. Wings, their new album, At the Speed of Sound. The Speed of Sound, their best album yet, on Capitol Records and Tapes.
You'll find it available at JCPenney's. In the studio with us tonight here on Triad over WXFM 106, Billy Cobham, who we've been talking to about his life and times. As you look back on your experiences with the Mahavishnu Orchestra, what do you think of them in perspective?
It was a phenomenal band, a band astrologically with five signs, ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Also very strong musicians, very strong and an important learning experience for me, a heavy education. I think probably ranking maybe second only to maybe working with Miles for the short time that I did. In learning a lot of what to do's and what not to do's. I loved it. It was great, you know. It was sad to see a lot of things go down that went down. And also very, very interesting to see the turn of events, so to speak, all that has happened. I just saw John McLaughlin about a week ago, last Thursday, with long hair, and off-white, more like navy blue. And all I could do was chuckle very loudly, because I thought it was funny. I couldn't help it, because there's too many things inside me that I really flash back on.
Uh-huh.
That are really funny moments now, in comparison to when they were happening.
Yeah.
You know, that I can just chuckle and laugh in a positive way, and say, well, I'm glad to see that what I thought was going to happen has finally happened. The fact that the cat's come on back into the world and said, hello, everybody, I've been away for a while, what's been happening? Which I think is really comical. I think it's great, because I still think he's a damn good musician, man. It's great. Never was a poor musician.
Uh-huh.
It's been an inspiration to a lot of people. And if anything, has helped to open up the musical world to the likes of Return to Forevers and God knows who else, you know, myself included, I guess. You know.
Changed the direction of the music.
Yeah, sure. You know, so it's all happening, you know, and John has to be thanked for a lot of things he's done.
Well, thank you for coming up tonight.
My pleasure.
And we have a song for a friend. Do you care to tell us who the friend is?
John McLaughlin.
From the album Life and Times. Thanks for coming up.
Sure, man.
Albums Life and Times here on Triad over WXFM, Elmwood Park, Chicago, broadcasting in stereo from Sears Tower. Weather-wise, tonight mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely. Low in the 40s on Thursday, partly cloudy, a little cooler with highs around 60. Continuing Triad, our music news tonight, a little bit about Passport, beginning with their Jubilee concert.
Rock. Rock me one time before you go insane. Rock me, darling. Yeah, hey, hey, rock me, boy. Just a one-time ball. Darling, please, babe, come on, then. All night long. Yeah, hey, hey, rock me, boy. Won't you please rock me, baby? Just one time more before you go. Pulling me with care, I said.